Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
621 on a Friday night in the 70s here in Lansing. Gotta love it. In fact, we're going to be in the 70s for the foreseeable future. Well, it feels like the calm before the storm, the review team assigned to Detroit, taking a little time off, waiting for a counterproposal from Detroit city officials who this week said the governor's consent agreement was unacceptable. But is there enough time to find a compromise before the review team's March 26th deadline? To discuss that, I'm joined by State Senator Coleman Young II of Detroit. Senator Young, thank you very much for coming on the program this evening.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure being with you.
Now, you and the rest of Detroit's Senate delegation held a press conference yesterday opposing the consent agreement. And one of the things you're most opposed to is this open-ended structure, saying that it allows the state advisory team to run the city indefinitely. What kind of a timeline would you like to see put in place?
Well, first of all, I'm one of those guys who thinks that the EM law itself is unconstitutional and illegal. I think it's rooted and illegality. So I think to kind of say, well, how would you like to negotiate with tyranny is not something I could really answer. That's against the oath of office that I swore to defend the Constitution, one. Secondly, yeah, the way it's written right now is, you know, the person who's on this financial board, they could be there from now to the apocalypse. And there's nothing in sight that says that they have to leave or a timeline. And I think that's something ultimately that the mayor and the mayor and the governor and the city council will negotiate.
Do you agree, though, that the mayor and the city council have had plenty of time to make the necessary reforms on their own?
Oh, well, listen. It's always fun and easy to, you know, take pot shots at people when you're not in the driver's seat in terms of local government. What I will say is this. I think that from a state perspective, what we need to be focused on is what reforms do we need to pass to make sure that Detroit is going to thrive. That's the conversation we have had. The city of Detroit, we need jobs. We need investment. We need auto insurance affordability. We need energy affordability. These are some of the things that we need. We need education reform. These are some of the things long term we need to do in order to make sure that we can have a thriving city.
Okay. So if the mayor and the city council are not responsible, don't you agree though that whether it's an advisory board or an emergency manager, it will take anything other than the status quo in Detroit to resolve the budget crisis?
Well, I do think that there's something that needs to be done now. Now, whether or not I think it's an EM or whether or not I think it's a consent agreement is something completely different. You know, right now the state of Michigan is holding $220 million in a bad revenue sharing deal that they should be giving to the city of Detroit that the governor decided he's not going to for whatever reason. You know, I mean, this governor, he kind of reminds me of someone who says, I want to support you, I just don't want to put my money where my mouth is. But as far as Of course we need change. It goes differently right now. But I think just simply saying we're going to take it over and just, you know, in a corporate raider-style fashion, sell off all the assets and hope we'll get the fiscal responsibility is not the answer. Because you can sell off all the assets and you still not have a balanced budget. You still not have control of your finances because you have a declining population, because you have lack of investment, because you have lack of jobs and opportunities in the city of Detroit.
I'm talking to State Senator Coleman Young II of Detroit. So what if the state handed Detroit hundreds of millions of dollars? Wouldn't that money simply be used up and we'd be still left with the same long-term debt and the budget deficit that the city is facing now and will continue to face?
Well, look, let me say this and let me make this clear. I'm glad you said that. Let me make this clear. One, here's the sort of things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to make sure that, one, the city of Detroit be able to have the money that's owed to them paid. Secondly, I think they need to have control that the people can decide about the tax reform in terms of being able to have their taxes, be their power to be able to decide what their tax rate will be, give it back to them. Right now, this revenue sharing deal, the city of Detroit had to roll back their tax for resident and non-resident, which also cost them more money. I also think there's ways in which you can look in terms of employee misclassification, in terms of revenue collection. But again, it's not just going to be about giving them a bag of money. You're going to have to pass necessary reforms. reforms long term in order to make sure that people can have money in their pocket. When you live in a city where people have to pay $5,000 a year for auto insurance, that is not sustainable, and that's got to change. You have to make sure that you have energy efficiency and affordability in the city of Detroit. You have to have jobs in the city of Detroit. You have to have people who can be able to come here and find opportunities so that way they can stay in the city of Detroit. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure that we can help small businesses be able to come here and thrive. One of the hardest things to do in the city of Detroit right now is to start a small business. So I feel if these are some things that we can work on long term, I think we'll be able to bring those revenues in. We'll be able to have revenue actually coming into the city of Detroit. So a lot of times, these people who work here, but these people who don't live here. And so they take that money that they earn from in the city of Detroit, and they go elsewhere with it, and the cycle of that dollar does not flow through the city of Detroit.
So, but what's the state's role in encouraging all these things? I mean, isn't it up to the city officials and area officials to work on policies that would change some of those dynamics?
Somewhat, but also, it depends on what you're talking about. In terms of, the city obviously has a role in terms of local economic development, but the state right now, like I said again, auto insurance reform or a regulatory framework that has more affordability in the city of Detroit. I also think in terms of education, make sure that we have actual education reform so our children have the best educational opportunities available to them. I also think in terms of energy affordability, not only being able to afford energy, but also being able to work in the alternative energy sector. I also think transportation, having Detroiters being able to have fair representation, let Detroit-based companies have fair representation in terms of the construction contracts they're getting for from a local perspective, but also from a state perspective. A lot of these state road projects, I feel these are things that are very important. And also, my personal opinion, community benefits agreements as well, so that when they create these jobs, you actually have Detroiters being able to participate in this economic development. Because if you have investments and there is no residential inclusion, that is only a formula for gentrification.
Well, in terms of bringing people into Detroit, there are crime issues, and aren't there clear reasons why
sure.
people want to avoid living there at this point? And how do you really turn that around in any kind of efficient way?
Well, I feel one of the best ways in which we can turn around the situation, the crime front, is a couple ways. One, you got to make sure that you have jobs. I think that's very important. I think the best way in order for us to have a thriving, safe city is for us to be a citadel of opportunity. And that's something that's got to take place, whether it's through investment, whether it's through community benefits agreements, like I said earlier. These are things that we have to make sure that we can have Detroiters that have economic jobs and opportunities. I also think, secondly, though, you're going to have to do some things for public safety. And you're going to have to make sure that we have some funds necessary. And remember, a lot of that revenue-sharing money that we're asking for goes towards public safety. So I feel that's something that's very important as well in terms of making sure that we have police and all up there on the street, but also firefighters who are out there as well. So you have people who are in burning buildings or whatever else. You can have the fire, you can have the fire personnel respond in a timely fashion.
One more thing. Is the reality that we have about a minute left, but is the reality, though, that there will need to be cuts in police and fire in Detroit as part of the cutbacks of the budget?
But let me say it like this, because, again, I have to be very careful, because as a state official, I don't want to overstep my bounds, you know what I'm saying, and start talking about what needs to be done and what needs to be done or what not, what doesn't need to be done, and, tell the mayor how to do his job. What I will say is this. The mayor has a lot of very difficult decisions in front of him, and it's my job as a state senator to make sure that we can do whatever we can to make sure that those decisions, that we give the mayor enough of a cushion from a state perspective to make sure that whatever decisions he decides to make, that the city will not be hurt and its residents will not be injured from those decisions.
State Senator Coleman Young, the 2nd of Detroit. We'll see where we go from here, but it sounds like your Republican colleagues have said clearly that they're not putting any more money into the city, at least not yet.
Yeah, and you know something, if I could just be quite frank with you, I think they're going to take it over. I mean, that's just what I think. I mean, I think it's unfortunate. I don't want that, but that's what I think we're headed towards.
All right, Senator, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate it, my friend. Always a pleasure. We're